It's in need, and I look forward to it when the time comes, every time we celebrate. Amen. Because it's the celebration of a victory when we come to the Lord's table. The victory was won by the Lord himself. Amen. And so we celebrate that victory at the Lord's Supper, as we call it. Amen. As I said, we call it the last Passover because Jesus is our Passover. He came to complete something for us that we could never do, not only us, but no one else could ever do for us. Amen. So he is the one who we celebrate. Amen. The fact that he gives you complete coverage. And we're going to talk about that a little. We kind of got into it last week just a little bit, but I want to extend your thinking as we head toward the season of what we call, what's called commonly in the world, let me just use the common term, Easter Sunday. Okay, I don't necessarily agree with that term. That's also a non-biblical term, but actually the word in the Greek is Pascha, which is the Passover. Amen. And we celebrate that because Christ is our Passover, tells us in 1 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Amen. But we're going to go ahead and get into the word. The Lord did give us something to dine on today. Amen. As we continue in our overall topic of living a year without fear. And as we take a turn toward the time of the celebration of the greatest event that has happened so far in the history of time, which is the first advent of Christ. In other words, the first coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than that in all of time. I don't care what the current historians and people tell us, scientists, all these kind of people who try to tell you something else was important. They won't talk about all kinds of stuff. According to history, the true history, Jesus Christ's first coming is the most powerful and effective thing that has ever happened to mankind, to the earth, in the history of man. And that's why the world is configured around Jesus, as we mentioned during our time of celebrating at the Lord's Supper. And because it is the most profound thing. No one else has overcome death and the grave. Science has taken many advances to get to where it is today. And medicine is probably one of the more profound things that we have to study in our time. But no one has ever defeated the grave. I don't care what kind of medicines we have come up with. The old death puts on his feather-toed shoes, as somebody said, and creeps in and takes out people every day. Amen. Every second. People being born and they are being taken out every day. But the only one who offers us hope in this area is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he is the only one who defeated the grave and death. And he got up and said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye, speaking to those who believe in him, therefore, and teach all the nations. You see, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So I'm happy about that. Amen. So today we're going to take a look at something. We're going to take a little deeper look into this idea as we approach the coming. I would say the celebration, we normally call that the first Christmas is the first coming of Jesus. But he, of course, at the end of his life at about the age of 33 and a half, which is after a 3.5 year ministry, the last 3.5 years of his earthly life, he was crucified. And so we talk about that. People don't understand what that meant, the fact that Jesus was crucified. They know about it. You see, people wearing crucifixes have no idea what they're about or what they mean, you see. But it's a good thing when you know why Jesus was crucified. And when you know what that means and how you apply that to your life. Personally, and not just the crucified part, that's the part of him paying our bill. But when he got out the grave, that's the part of him showing you I am the only one with the answer to the problem. Adam's problem was the day you transgress me, you shall surely die, right? That was what God told him. He gave him 930 years after that. Still, he lived to be 930 years old. The scripture tells it, and then it says, and he died. And that retort, and he died, goes on and on and on and on. I even heard about a man one day, somebody said he was reading the book of Genesis and kept on reading about this person and that person who lived this many years, begot sons and daughters, then it said, and he died. And he read another one, and he died. They kept on saying, and he died. And he said, man, I think I need to get saved. He was just reading, and he died. I said, it's like, okay. I think, you know, he convicted him. I said, boy, I never heard of anybody getting convicted reading genealogies. You see, But the fact is, Jesus died and he got up out of the grave. So some people like to say that for the end. I think that's the good part. I want to say it at the beginning. Amen. He died, but he also got up out the grave. And that's the part I'm excited about. He did that to pay your bill and mine. If you're here today, it doesn't matter who you are, what you have done. And he does this to give you the assurance. We couldn't do what we have to do as a Christian if we didn't have the assurance already that God has covered us entirely. You have to have that assurance. If you don't, then you're going to feel defeated all the time. So we're going to talk about that today. There are many treasures God has hidden. The Bible says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. See, so there is a secret relationship there. It's not secret on God's part. He wants all of us to know it. He wants us all to believe it. He wants us all to get deeper into it. That's why we have to be disciples. You know, we're not snapped. We're given instant perfection by God, but we start striving to be perfect. You see, he declares you perfect so that you can strive toward perfection. See, it's not that I'm perfect right now. I wish I could tell you all, you know, I have arrived. You say, where at, St. Timothy? You have not arrived. You know, you got a ways to go, you know, and we all have a ways to go. But you need to get on the road. You know what? If you don't ever get on the road, you're not going to ever get to your destination. You got to get on the road. You can say, well, you know, I'm going to go in a minute. I'm going to get up. No, you need to get on the road and keep stay on the road. And the writer to the Hebrews summarized. We're going to get to our text in a minute here. The writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus. See, if you don't take your stare off of Jesus, he says, who was the author and the finisher of our faith? See, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, it was a disgraceful. You know, it is a disgraceful thing to think about God putting on human flesh, coming into the world, being born through the womb of a virgin, and being raised in the world to be misunderstood, mutilated, and crucified. Wow, boy, you want to talk about disgraceful. The creator of the universe, somebody spit in his face and ripped out his beard, mocked him and slapped him, put a blindfold on him, said, prophesy who hit you, as though he didn't know. See, that's why the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. See, all we like sheep are gone astray, Isaiah said. Everyone turned aside to his own way. But the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. See, so he was suffering on our behalf. He knew these people were the way kind of people they were. They were like us. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Don't say, oh, those people were so awful. Had you have been there, who knows what you would have done? People picked up stones and threw them, spit on him and all that as he was going up the street. And we tend to think, oh, we're so holy, we would never have done that. See, you know, but the fact is they misunderstood who God was. And he had come in order to make us clean. And he knew what man would do. That shows you the failure of human government. Y'all worried about who up there now? I said, hey, the worst government I ever heard of, the one that found God guilty and crucified him. That's the worst one. The one we got doesn't compare. It's bad, but it ain't that bad. Now, I wouldn't say that if Jesus came now, that these people wouldn't find him. They tried a way to tax him to death or something. You see what I'm saying? We're not going to go there, though. Let's go on with our lesson. We want to talk about adorning the treasures of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the deacons to come and share in the reading at this time. We'd like them to read a few verses. And we're going to use the one from the book of Micah, which is a book that is not often read in the church a lot. I don't know why. I don't understand that. Certain books seem to be somewhat neglected. But we're going to take a look at Micah chapter number 4 from the Old Covenant and a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Both in chapter 4. Listen to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word.
Mm-hmm. And many nations shall say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And he will walk in his, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation.
Amen. That's the old covenant word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. And now for the New Testament.
When we have this treasure in earthen vessels, then the excellence of the power may be of God, not of men. And not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us.
Amen. The New Testament word of the Lord to God's people. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And as I have already let the cat out of the bag, we're going to use the topic of adorning the treasures of Jesus the Christ. Now, you see that word, the Christ, there. I want to put that in and bring that to your attention. Adorning the treasures of Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah, is what that term Christ means. That comes from the Greek word Christos, which comes from the Hebrew word HaMashiach. He is the Messiah, as it is translated. Messiah the Prince. He is Mashiach Nagi, Daniel said. Pardon me while I speak in tongues a little. Here, a Mashiach Nagi is Messiah the Prince, who is the Son of the living God. Amen. Means a lot to me and you. So we want to talk about, Paul told us, and this is what struck my mind to go in this direction. He told us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. And so what we want to do, we have a word here, adorning the treasures of Jesus the Christ. How do we adorn the treasures of Jesus the Christ? The word adorn is used twice in the Bible, in the New Testament. And it's not in the text that I set before you today, but I wanted to explain it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it's speaking of women in the church. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness of sobriety, the old King James says, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, be dressed in the righteousness of God. That's what it means, to be dressed. And another usage is in Titus 2 in verse 10, says, not purloining, speaking of servants, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. To adorn the doctrine of God, what does that mean? To put it on as a garment. Comes from the Greek word cosmeo. Does that sound like any word any of you recognize? How about cosmetics? That's what you use, what, to fix up your face and your hair and you get yourself looking like something on the outside. See, prettying up yourself, to adorn yourself. See, and somebody made a hairspray called it Adorn, you know, and they put it out there. And some of the ladies may know about that. And to adorn is to put it on the outside, so it can be seen, to cover yourself with it. See, that's the problem. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we have a tendency to have something on the outside, but we may not feel it on the inside. So in order to adorn the doctrine of God and the treasures of Jesus Christ, that means we need to know what they are. First of all, we need to learn what they are. When we learn what they are, then we can put it on. See, that's why Paul said stuff like, take unto you what? The whole armor of God. Armor yourself with the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is the trickster. He is the enemy. He started off that way. And he hasn't ceased. Even though Jesus has defeated death, hell, and the grave, the devil has not ceased to try to bring destruction in your life and mine. You know, and if you allow him, guess what? He'll do it. He's happy to watch you fall and stumble. He's happy to make you not be happy and to be fearful about your life and what's going on in your life. That's why I wanted to declare to you all in the world that we want to live this year without fear. There's so many things to fear and to suffer, and this is a part of the reason why we need to understand. How do you adorn the treasures of Jesus Christ? God has commanded that we put on Christ. He says that in his word. See, and so we want to be able to wear it, not just as something we take on and off, but we want to have it on all the time. This is where God is taking the world. Did you know that? Here in Micah chapter number 4, as the deacons read, he says, but in the last days, that's speaking of the time when the Lord is going to summarize everything, it shall come to pass. That's a prophecy, a prophetic way of God saying this will take place. That the mountain of the house of the Lord, see, that speaks of his government and his reign, shall be established in the top of the mountain. In other words, his government is going to be higher than any other governments that stand. And it shall be exalted above the hills. That's a way of saying prophetically that God's government is going to rule and reign over every government. It's that time that John wrote in the book of Revelation, said, he said that in the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. It's that same time that David speaks of in the Psalms when he says that yet have I set my king on my holy hill in Zion, who is, and he has declared the decree that the Lord has said, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you in Psalm number 2. That's where the world's heading. It's heading for rulership by the Lord Jesus Christ, and his government will be the highest that there ever has been. It says unto us, Isaiah said, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign upon the throne of his father David. See, he's called also the Son of David in the Bible. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. So this is where God is taking the whole of human history. And we're in the midst of it right now. We're in the flow of that process. That's why he says here, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. In other words, it won't be a higher place you can be. God's government will be in control. He will rule and reign, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. And it shall be exalted above all the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. So that's where things are heading. And you might say, well, it looks rough on the way, Pastor. Yeah, it is, but this is where it's going. You and I, this is one of the treasures of Christ, that we can have insight into prophecy, what God is planning to do, what God is doing. You and I need to be aware of what God's doing. Don't worry about what's going on in the White House and in the City Hall and in the Kremlin. You can have a part of that when you go vote and make state your preference on these things. But think about where God is taking the world. He's taking the world toward his government when he will rule and reign and have authority in all the earth. Now, Jesus didn't do that last time he came. It was the first part of Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. See, that was when he was born and when he died, the son was given. And then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the second advent of Christ. And his name shall be called Wonderful. This is in all of time. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Micah says in verse 2 of chapter 4, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And the house of the God of Jacob. Look at that. He's called the God of Jacob. Amen. You know who Jacob is? That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it talks about the tribes of Israel that he used to deliver the word of God to mankind. And he shall teach us of his ways. Wow. That's what you ought to be just feel over and delighted when consider yourself a disciple of the Most High God. God is teaching us right now his ways. We have one of my favorite songs. We should have sung it today. Show me your way, Lord. We want God to show us how to adorn the treasures of Christ. You know what? He's doing that. He wants you to know how to do that. And this is why you ought to dedicate yourself to the study of his word. Because you have insight right now being given to you by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. God seals everyone who trusts Christ with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is given to you. And you can either let the Spirit lead you or you can quench the Spirit. You have a choice. No, sometimes we quench the Spirit. The Spirit wants you to participate in the understanding of God's word. Why? Because it's going to benefit you. It's going to take away doubt. It's going to take away fear. It's going to take away stuff, anxiety and pressure out of your life. Why? Because I know what God is saying on this subject. I know where the Lord stands. I don't have to fear man. I don't have to fear governments. I don't have to fear politics and all these kind of things that trouble me. I don't even have to fear poverty or any of that. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's. How do you know that? The Bible says so. And the fullness thereof. See, the world and they who dwell in it. See, when your mind is anchored in the truth of God, you will be able to take a stand against the stuff that troubles other people who aren't anchored in the word. I was telling my wife this just the other day. When I first got back into the word, after I'd been out in the world for a long time, the Lord quickened my mind one Sunday. I heard the word. I heard one message after I'd been out of the church for years. When I heard it, it struck something in my spirit and said, you know what? That's what's wrong with you. You need the truth. You need God's word. You need to hear the truth of God every day. I mean, every time you get a chance. And something quickened me and I became alive. I had been dead for years. The devil had control of my life for years. He was beating me this way and that way and other way, and I couldn't do anything about it. You know, he'll reduce you to some terrible situations. Some of you might know about this, but then again, maybe y'all might not have been through nothing like this. You know, he'll have you strung out on something that addicts you and holds you back in the world. He can do that. He wants to manipulate your life. And if I can't hang you up with this, I got something else I can hang you up with. See, I'm going to find something in your life that you like, some lust or some desire that you have, and I'm going to destroy you if I can. That's his motive. See, and Paul said, I am not ignorant. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know what kind of things he does. I was in bondage, and then I was caught up in that situation, and I didn't get free till I heard and understood that God loves me just like I am. You haven't done anything for which he's not willing to totally forgive you. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's liberating. Wow, I don't have to fear the Most High God. The highest government has done something to acquit me of my sin, to let me go free. That's what we call justification. See, God says it's just as though you did not sin. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I obliterate all your sin, wipe it out. You'll see that at the end of the book of Micah. It says in Micah chapter 7 that he said he is going to cast our sins into the sea, never to be remembered anymore. So God takes away your sin. He's not remembering it anymore if you believe in Jesus Christ. See, that's the thing. And you know what? There's no other way you will ever be clean. The only way you can be clean, according to the highest government that there is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And he told us to go and preach that to every creature. See? And so that's what I take my joy in doing. When that day when the Lord got a hold of me, he let me know, son, you are forgiven. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And that was the best thing I could ever hear. Took me a while for it to soak in. But I heard it. It was the best news I ever heard. So the first thing you do is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you start this adorning the treasures of Christ. Why is it a treasure? It's the most valuable thing there is in the earth. It's the only thing that can justify godless sinners like me in the sight of a holy God. God makes the provision for us all so that we can believe in him. And whoever trusts him, he declares you not guilty. Boy, that's liberating. Now, you know what? The problem I had was when I believed and I trusted him, I looked and found out, you know, who this same person who was entangled in sin still has issues. I wish I could have just been snapped perfectly into total righteousness so I didn't have to go around and worry about some of the stuff I was still thinking, some of the stuff that was still a reality in my life, you know. And but he told me, you know what, when you trust Christ, I don't see it anymore. But I want to teach you how to walk like Jesus. I want to teach you how to talk like Jesus. I want to teach you how to think like Jesus. I want to teach you how to satisfy me like Jesus. It's all about teaching. Everything God has for you is contained in his word. The word of the Lord is for you. It's not against you. Now, you know what happens in the process? We're convicted. We read what God says. Oh, boy, I'm destroyed. Why? Because I'm not like that. That's the reality of it. You know, but the time is coming, he says, when the nations shall come and say, let us go up that we may learn the ways of the God of Jacob and walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God still has a special place in his heart for Jerusalem. Don't ever cast Israel or Jerusalem aside. God wouldn't do it. He promised they're going to be there, and they're going to endure. They're going to become a cup of trembling, and they're going to become a rock of offense against all the nations before the time is up. That's why they're still in your news every day. Notice the verse 3 here. Let's go back to our text. It says, and he shall judge among many people. He shall rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know, some people wrote a song called "We Will Study War No More." See, and that's what this means. Right now, what the nations of the world are doing is who can have the biggest bomb? Who can destroy more people at one time? That's what gives me authority and power in the world, is my ability to have the biggest nuclear weapon. So they're studying war. They're coming up every day, chemical weapons, all kinds of things, trying to figure out how can they dominate and have power. So men fight and lust for power in the world. But God says they're going to study war no more. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they study war anymore. Now, you'll find this passage also in Isaiah chapter 2, a very similar passage to what Micah said. Micah was prophesying in one area and Isaiah was in the other. Micah prophesied in the northern kingdom while Isaiah prophesied in the southern kingdom. Same passages will be found if you take a look in your word back in the book of Isaiah. Just a footnote for you Bible advocates who love to study, like me. I'm kind of a Bible nut. I love the Bible and I want to study and know what it says. The scriptures reveal that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every and all people groups of the world, Gentiles and Jews alike, which shall culminate in the reign of God the Son, as it says in Psalm 2, who will direct and judge all nations from Jerusalem, as spoken by the prophet Micah and many others as well, as we mentioned Isaiah. Both the Old and the New Testament scriptures indicate that God the Son is the focal point of all the treasures of God in bodily form, who has been sent into the world to be the embodiment of God the Father in the fulfillment of all the covenant promises made from the foundation of the world. So Jesus was on a considerable mission when he came to be born of a virgin. He had to fulfill the prophecies of Moses. He had to be raised in Nazareth and Bethlehem of Judea. He had to be born, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And all these things had to be fulfilled. Jesus' life is the fulfillment of God's word. And so Paul admonishes us as we turn to our New Testament text here. Notice 2 Corinthians 4. Paul used to be the Jew who hated the church. Now he's been converted. It says, speaking of the filling of the Holy Spirit, but we have this treasure, the treasure of Christ in you, the hope of glory, as he told the Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 27. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What makes the Christian special? God, the Son, the Holy Spirit moves in. When you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to you immediately. Ephesians 4 and 30 says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. God puts a seal on you immediately when you trust in Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. So the Holy Spirit is in you. if you trust in Jesus Christ. Why is he there? He is there to lead you and guide you to all truth. He is there to comfort you in times when you struggle with your own weaknesses. He is there to comfort you when you hear evil reports from the world and things around you. He is there to tell you, God's got this. I got your back. That's why he says that the voice of the Spirit will be in your mind. But you know what? God does not overpower your own personal spirit. He does not. That's why Paul said to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but this I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you know what? There's a battle going on inside of everyone that's saved with the flesh. The flesh wants to do what I wants to do. And the Spirit is saying, you need to do what God wants you to do. And so that battle is in every person's mind. If you don't have it, you need to check and see, are you saved? Because if you have the Spirit, you know you're not right. There's stuff in there that needs to be fixed. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you every day. But are you listening? Are you hearing what thus saith the Lord? You know, that's why he said, confess your sins. He says in James, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. In other words, don't let it be that people among you don't know that you're having issues because they're having them too. Don't come in and act like you're so lofty and you're so holy you don't ever have a sinful thought or any kind of a struggle in your life. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. He said, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, so that's how we get healed. It's in the fellowship of the saints. You know, think about this. Peter struggled with all kinds of things. He had pride issues. When the Jews came along who he had been raised under, he went back to trying to keep the principles of the law instead of telling them about Christ. And Paul said, I rebuked him to his face because he was to be blamed. In the book of Galatians, he was not perfect. Paul confesses his own faults. He says that which I do, I don't want to do. And the very thing I hate, he said, that I do. He talked about his struggle in his mind in Romans 7. See, he wasn't trying to say, oh, I am the flawless apostle when I come in and kiss my ring. None of that. He was saying, I got issues, people. I'm not right. He says, but thanks be to God. He said, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? Romans 7 and 24. You can tell he's agonizing over the stuff that he can see now. The Spirit of God turned the light on. Showed him all the dark crevices in his own mind and stuff in his own life. And he couldn't stand it. He said, I hate it, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're talking about is how do we adorn the treasures of Christ? The biggest thing I want you to see, and I'm almost done, is that God loves you so much, he knew there's no way I could justify any of you unless I pay the bill. Somebody said, if you want the job done right, do it yourself. That's the only one who could do it. Jesus came out of heaven equal with God to be spit on, mocked and ridiculed, and God already knew, man, it's so twisted that when I come, the perfect one, I'll show them that I'm perfect. How? Because I'll heal the sick. I'll raise the dead. I'll give sight to the blind. I'll cleanse the lepers. I'll walk on water. I'll still the storm. He did all those things to let you know nobody can do that. The disciples said, what manner of man is this that can command the wind and the waves and they obey him? They were more scared of him then than they were when they saw him walking across the sea. Wow, he came walking on the water in the last watch of the night. He said, whoa, Lord, we think we see a ghost. Who could be walking out there? And so we know that he manifested that he was God. And he showed them, I have all authority. That's why Peter drew the sword when they came to get him. Lord, I'm not going to let them take you. And Jesus said, put your sword away, Peter. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. See, and so we have defects. In our lives, it's not a good thing. It's an awful thing. How do you get rid of it? Adorn the treasures of Jesus Christ. You know what? In order to do it, you got to learn what they are. I bet you know you don't hear people teaching much of this, do you? It's secondary today. People teach more other kind of stuff to give you a feel good mentality. I feel good when I'm learning what God said. I feel good when I'm on the path to do stuff right. when I can concur that the word of God is taking effect in my life. See, you know, I wish I could tell you, oh, everything in my life is perfect. I can't do it. I'm like Paul. I got to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, and I'm not happy about it. I don't think he was either, but he's truthful about it. So the way you're going to get clean, notice what he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See? So that's what we want to do. The life of Jesus in your body, Christ in you, he told the Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The hope of glory. For we, he says, which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, where? In our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you, he's talking to the Corinthians. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. And we also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. God has promised the resurrection to as many as trust in the name of Jesus Christ. So being disciples of Jesus Christ, we are learning to not only know and adorn, that means to wear on the outside the treasures of Christ, but also that it is not without continual difficulty that we do so, as we walk in faith, in the pursuit of Christ's likeness, being persecuted and afflicted by those without understanding. The world afflicts and persecutes us, as well as those within the body of Christ who fail to understand this calling. See, many in the church don't even understand what I just said. I'm not talking about this church per se, but in the world, the church is getting into some strange things. But this is why I'm hoping you enjoy studying and being with us here at St. Timothy. We're getting into the word. We want the word to get into us. I wish I could tell you that it's taken such an effect on me that I'm adorning of the gospel of Christ perfectly. But I can't say that. There's always defective stuff, and I'm always concerned about it. But at the same time, I know I have the victory. God has given you the victory. If you don't know you have the victory, it's easy for you to stumble and fall aside. And I think what you should do is have a good talk with yourself. Like David said, I have to talk to myself and encourage myself, you know, and understand the reason why you need to study. If you think there's some reason why you can just waltz through the world, let the devil kick you around, and you're going to be okay, no, you need to learn to adorn the treasures of Jesus Christ. Put it on. See your necessity. See the fact that you have a need. God loves you. He wants to feed you with his truth. As we said last week, and I go back to this and I'm about done, he says, I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. See, and that's what you need. You need somebody to help break down the word so you can understand it. And when you do, God's going to fix you. God, the Holy Spirit from the inside, is fixing you. He's making you a better man or woman than you have ever been. And he wants to continue that process. The only one stopping him is not him. He loves you. So if you're not moving down that path, the stopping is coming by yourself or by the world. Something in the world's got you hung up, or by the devil. The devil could be afflicting you, but you shouldn't let him win, because you're already a victor if you trust in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say this just before we give an invitation to discipleship. I was reading an article about the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. The pastor there and his wife started a church. I think it says they had about 29 people when they started. And they just began to pray and study the word and praise God. And they were just doing what we call church. And they prayed and prayed. And now they have a choir with 240 singers. And they have an orchestra, a complete orchestra, praising God. And I think the church has probably 30,000 members by now. And that took about maybe 3 to 4 years. And it all had to do with their dedication to prayer and faith. And Jim Cimbala is a pastor there, and his wife, Carol, who has never been taught a single note of music, They write some of the most beautiful music that you have ever heard, that you would ever want to hear. And God blessed them because of their faithfulness. So what are we doing here? I don't worry about how many people are here. I just want the people here to be full of the truth of God and the Spirit of God. If we have that, then we're on the right path. We don't have to worry about what others are doing. We don't have to worry about any of that. God's going to send the people in. Now, when we get the core of the church tight and right, where we stand for what God says, and we believe that God's going to do the rest, you know, he loves you just like you are. And that's why he gives me messages of this sort. So I want you to know he loves you just like you are. And he would like you to be saved, wherever you are. If you're here today, you are not saved. I want to say it's against the will of God that you are not saved. And God wants you saved. That's the first thing. That's where the journey begins with salvation. And then if you are saved, he wants you to be dedicated. Elevate the level of your dedication to him. You know how you do that? Study his word. Get with his people and pray. Concentrate on the things God has given you in his word. He loves you. There's no holding back on his end. He says, I got everything you need. I can make anything turn to your favor. No matter what it is, I want you to do that. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have the fullness and enjoy the fullness of this life. See, not just wait till pie in the sky by and by. No, God says, I want you to have fullness right now where you are in this life. See, and how do you get there? You get there by continuing to walk by faith, not by sight. Makes no difference what you see. Doesn't make a difference what you don't see. Has nothing to do with it. It has to do with what God said. And when we begin to embrace what God said, that's when we're going to see things happen. Great things will happen. So if you're here today, let me ask you all to stand, please, if you're able. Take a stand if you're not, if we understand. And I want you to just pray. Ask God to be your Savior. If you believe in Jesus Christ, call on him right now as we pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. The gospel is the best news in the world. The world doesn't have any news like that. If you love the world, you gave your son in order to rectify whoever trusts in him, to forgive us of every sin, every transgression, everything we've done wrong. And Father, with that knowledge, you allow us to grow and take the treasures of Jesus Christ, who is the only one who ever satisfied you, and adorn them to wear them ourselves as a way of life and a matter of life. Bless in the room today, God, whoever is receiving Jesus right now to be their Savior. Fill them with your Spirit, God. Lead them and guide them to all truth. We know this is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so, Father, we cannot earn it. We do not deserve it. So we ask you to give it to us freely, Lord, by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We believe you raised him out of the grave, so we don't even have to worry about the problem of death. We can go on in this life, God, moving forward in your word and in your grace and your mercy. Bless whoever is asking you to come into their life right now, Lord, whether they're hearing us remotely or however they're hearing this message. Help them to just accept Jesus right now as their personal Savior. And Father, those of us who are walking with you, we pray you guide us to a deeper and a closer walk with you, Lord, that we might grow in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody's been struggling a long time with the idea of salvation, but give them faith right now to believe and accept Jesus to be their Savior. And us who, God, who are here have been tripped up and stumbled up into the devices of the wicked one, give us authority and power to overtake him, oh God, and crush him under our feet as you have promised in your word. Now to you, oh God, we bless you, we give you praise, we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, with whom you are well pleased. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. 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 If you are saved, you can be a Christian with experience, and you'd like to have a membership here with us at St. Timothy that we might continue to disciple you. We give you that opportunity right now that you may come. We accept a member by letter or a candidate for baptism or a Christian with experience. If you're an experienced Christian and you want to come at this time and unite with the St. Timothy family, we give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, do not be ashamed to own me before men, neither will I be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. You know what? I lean on that he said. I have to trust
Because I know when I get there, if the way it's been going, you never know when you're going. You know what I'm saying? But when I get there, I want Jesus to say, you know that crazy little one right there? Yeah, I know him. He knows me. He's not ashamed of me. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said. You know, I don't want him to say, oh, you wouldn't even own me before men. So now you're coming up here and you want me to cover you? That would be an awful situation. You know, and one of the worst verses in the Bible, I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up because I'm a little over my time. Is when Jesus said, many shall come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They never know you. What do you mean? What are you calling me Lord for? Right now. See, so I don't ever want to disown him because I don't want him to ever disown me. Amen. So if you're here today, do not disown him. Come and confess him to be your Savior. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen. We want to give special recognition and thanks to our visitors who are here today. And we welcome you. Thank you. We already did that once, but we want to say it again before you get out the door. We thank you for coming. Amen. We hope this won't be your last trip here to come and worship with us at St. Timothy MB Church. Amen. Amen. If any of you have any words that you'd like to say, we give you that opportunity also just before we receive the benediction.